We interrupt this program to bring you this special press conference with the league owner of your mom's hot yoga class. Yes, you finished 6-6 this year after having just a pathetic season last year. You were a complete disgrace to the league last year, to your friends, your family members. How do you feel about your finish in the regular season?
Well, I'd rather be at the top of the list than the bottom. Let's put it that way. Yes, Steven?
You were tied for second with a road record of 4-2. Your home record was only 2-4, which killed you. How will you fix that next year?
Don't out-dumb yourself now.
That really was your answer?
Yes, Mark?
Thank you. In week 11, you made probably the boneheaded decision of the entire season by not playing Marvin Jones. Will that haunt you for the rest of the playoffs and the offseason?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to sleep at night after that one. Yes.
From week 7 to 10, you scored 141, 153, 136, and 172, and winning 3 of 4 during that stretch. Is it true you got really cocky and arrogant going into the final two games?
You get the job done or you don't.
Okay.
Yes, Mark?
Josh Jacobs scored 4.6 points in week 12. You could have had Nick Chubb, who's probably going to finish the first 12 weeks the rushing leader in the NFL. You could have had him. Thoughts?
It's one day at a time. We don't talk about last year. We don't talk about next week. We talk about the next year. We don't talk about next year. We talk about today, and we talk about the next game. But we don't talk about that.
You finished the season with a two-game losing streak, tied for the longest at the end of the regular season. Even MLB did better. How do you feel about this?
We're on to Cincinnati.
Let's finish on an up note, a positive note, because it sounds like you need it. You finished second in the league, number two in the most moves, roster moves, in the entire league, number two. How do you feel? What are your thoughts?
What place are you? Who is first place?
MLB at 41.
How's that working for you?
Welcome to the Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, the two G's, Mark and Drew.
Oh my goodness, a man of many, many words. Hey guys, G1 here. Welcome to the podcast. And hopefully Stump will be a man of more words, as I got to interview him earlier in the week. So it was recorded earlier on Monday night of this week. And we pick up with that conversation. I was asking him about his team.
Well, I'm going to have to draft better, for one. Like, I'm looking at the draft histories now, and they've been pretty sorry. Like, my first pick this year was Paris Campbell, and I think he's made, like, 2 or 3 starts all season for the Colts. And, like, you know, guys like Justice Hill haven't really been a part of the offense. And just if you go down the line, like, you know, I haven't drafted well. Like, Thomas in particular has drafted really well. He's drafted guys that have, you know, been contributors on his team about the last 2 years, including getting, you know, Lamar Jackson. Let me look here, you know, in round 5 of our 2018 draft. So I just, you know, I'll be looking at, it looks like I'm picking at 3 this year. So I need to make sure I hit that pick. That's my main plan.
So first of all, question number one, what do you think of the season so far?
I mean, I hate it because I'm terrible this year. But as far as like an overall league health, I think this is the most parity we've had in the league. So it's good, I guess, from what few neutral followers that any fantasy league would have. That's probably been good, but I hated it personally because my team, you know, is poor.
Speak for yourself. What do you think about me, Jake?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, like me, you, and Anthony, I would think that we're just sort of just like just waiting for the Super Bowl to come so we can just, you know, move on from football.
But if I can be self-absorbed just for a little bit, I've been playing these little mini games with myself. I've got the second best score this week and last week. So that's what I've been kind of doing in my mind is what can I be doing to get better just each week? Of course, I've been getting lucky with some of my rookies that I picked in the draft. So, but I hear you. I know after about week four, depression begins.
Yeah, it's tough.
It was for us. It's like, okay, that's it. Even after week three.
Especially when our benches are so deep that there's not really a lot of the waiver wires.
It's awful. It's awful. Yeah. Who of the four? So I'm like 100% certain it's going to be JB and Thomas. They're in. And then it's going to be Joe Ryan and Chris. So of those four, who do you think is going to win it all?
I mean, if you just go by points for who's the best scorer, it's Chris still. I mean, especially after this week, I think he's dropped like 160 on.
That was a bad week for him.
Right. No, I mean, it's got to be him. I mean, if you look at the other top four teams, if you look at the other teams, they all have, you know, some severe deficiencies. Like JV's quarterback is Jameis Winston,
right?
Who is basically Brian Fitzpatrick 2.0. like, he'll drop 50 and then he'll throw five interceptions to have two fumbles and he loses you the game. But then on the other hand, you also have Christian McCaffrey, who's, you know, averaging 30 a week. And then, you know, like, I mean, let me look here at Thomas.
Seems like 50.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, even on Thomas's team, like, I would say, you know, there's just not a lot. I mean, he's got good wide receiver depth, but I mean, Seattle's running backs will fluctuate as far as like their effectiveness from week to week. And so it's just, I would say Chris has the most complete team, especially, you know, we got like David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook, and even David Montgomery, you know, as your fourth running back. And, you know, not to speak of his embarrassment of riches at the receiver position, that his team just has the most, can withstand the most variance from week to week.
He definitely has depth. And that's what a couple of the other guys are lacking.
I don't know which particular owner, but I mean, looking at my bench, between the injured reserves and the outs, like, I mean, I know my team, as poor as it is, is certainly not that way. But yeah, there's a lot of teams, like most teams apart from Chris's, are very much like there's maybe one backup for each position group. And then after that, it's like there's, you know, rookies and other dynasty stashes and streamer type players. So.
Well, we are recording this before Thanksgiving. It's Monday night, got the game coming up. So, first of all, thanks for joining the show this evening. And also, have a great, happy Thanksgiving, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you and, Drew and the whole fam, hope you guys have a good week.
Sounds great. First of all, I guess we have a bunch of first of alls, but let me say congratulations, G2, on your season. You still finished 7-5. Was that frustrating?
Yeah, that was frustrating. I'm over it now, but it was frustrating. I thought this is finally going to be the season that I could make the playoffs and do something, and nope, not yet.
You were so close, so close. And you had a couple of amazing games, which we talked about last week. You had a couple of 200-point games, so you racked up some points, but this is a weird season, even compared to last year. It just, a lot of boom and bust, or am I mistaken?
No, I agree, and I think that's why you see such closeness in our score, or in our standings in the league. You know, having, you know, 6 to 7 teams, like, heavily involved most of the season, obviously I think shows a lack of consistency necessarily in some of the players. So you're going to have close games or games where people will go off and then the next week where it just didn't. And I think we've seen that in some of the scores.
And I would like to add that on this boom or bust, as we were watching the game last night, here you have Lamar Jackson, who probably in a lot of leagues where, you know, you start all over, how many people picked Lamar Jackson over Jared Goff? How many? I bet very few.
Probably very few, because Goff was, I mean, I think his ADP was pretty high as far as the quarterbacks go.
It was huge.
One of the top five quarterbacks, potentially.
And then you've got Gurley, whom you now have. You know, he not the same guy as he was last year. Yeah. You look at Saquon Barkley, another example of regression. Now, part of that could be injury related. So a weird, weird year. But anyway, congrats. But also congrats to the four people who made it. Hey, do we need to give JB some love?
I think it's deserving after how much we knocked him last week.
But yeah, but as I've been defending him, because, you know, it happened, you know, it was an accident. And I don't think he just purposely went out and, you know, just it was an accident. So I've been defending him behind his back, in front of his back, on the show. So he's not going to get any grief from me whatsoever, but still congratulations. I still want to say the same thing about his roster. There can be no room for error on
Jade
because of the depth issue. And that's something I think next year, you know, him and I are very similar. You know, we're working 50 plus hours a week, sometimes more. I think sometimes he works more hours even than I do. So it's not like he has time to go and check the waiver wire, be listening or reading to some of the pundits, the experts out there, the subject matter experts in fantasy football, who does. So he's got to figure out some lean way to keep his eye on the waiver wire to be adding some depth, because he can only do so much in the draft. And as you said earlier, sometimes you don't see the benefits of the draft until maybe 2-3 years
right
down the road. So, but I'm excited for him to have gotten there. He has a couple of dynamite players. A little worried about Julio Jones still not finding the end zone for whatever reason. That's bizarre, but he can still put up points week to week. And his quarterback that he's playing for is regressed this year as well. I want to talk a little bit about the trades. So first of all, we've had the first big trade. I was hoping there was going to be some scandal.
We wish.
Oh, man. It's like, oh, this is going to be juicy because what were the exact words? Was it the word veto that we saw in the email message?
Yes.
So we're talking.
That is correct.
That's between Jill Ryan and Dylan. So, oh, this is maybe Dylan felt like he had maybe he's taken advantage of, and maybe Jill Ryan, he did something that was some impropriety involved, and dang it, it was just a misunderstanding.
Or maybe our highest esteemed commish decided to do something, you know, behind our backs and almost got caught for it.
Like, I don't
We just didn't, we didn't know.
Like, I don't like that trade. It's like, that's going to hurt me. So we're going to come back to that trade in a minute. And then Chris made a trade with you, and then we're going to come back to it. So the only two people that have not made a trade that are in the, I'm going to call it, say we're all in the playoffs, but between the top four is JB and Thomas. So here's what I'm expecting G2 between now and Saturday. Well, wait a minute. Between now and Thursday night, do we expect a trade between JB and Thomas?
I honestly don't think so. And one of the reasons why
I was expecting a laugh.
It was a laugh. Okay, so it was very fake on purpose. In all truth, though, Thomas just went on vacation, and so honestly, I don't think that he's going to have time to really consider a move unless he's just like going back and forth with JB about something and decides to make something happen. I don't think you'd even see a trade between two playoff teams. I think that'd be a little, I don't know. I don't think it could benefit both sides. So yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we've seen all the trades that we're going to see.
So, trade number one. Basically, Joe Ryan is getting Derrick Henry. I'd completely forgotten about Derrick Henry. Don't know why, but I thought, wow, what a trade. That may be even a better trade than him getting, say, Kamara. What are your thoughts on that trade that Joe Ryan makes?
I think it's definitely the kind of move that he needs to make in the playoffs. If he wants a chance to win, I think Henry can do a good job of that. I mean, look at his point spread, and the last three matchups for Henry, he's just gone absolutely off. He has 5 touchdowns in 3 games.
The last 3 games in a row, 24.9, 33.1, 20.5. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Kamara, so Ken, let's get into your mind a little bit.
Yes.
Why were you willing to give up Kamara? You've had him. We've been in this league for 3 years. This is our 3rd year. He's one of your original players. So I know there's a little bit of a emotional equity, if you will.
Right.
Why were you willing to give him up?
So originally, yeah, I wasn't willing to give him up because, you know, he's my guy. And I picked him up in the 10th round of our first ever Dynasty Fantasy Draft. And so he's just been a huge, huge breakout for me, and he's the staple of my team. But in the situation that I'm in now, you know, I didn't make the playoffs this year like I thought I would, and I want to be as good as I can next year. And the trade that I am making with Chris, or did just make with Chris today, gives me not only another back who is very successful in Todd Gurley, although we know it's been a struggle this year. But I'm also getting another first round draft pick, probably I think the 5th overall, because it's Dylan's draft pick that Chris got from him earlier in the year, and as well as a 3rd round pick. And then I'm also on the side getting Mecole Hardman, who we has shown a lot of potential this year in his rookie season. So it's the kind of move where I am willing to roll the dice on losing a consistent running back so that I have a chance for even some more depth, because I need. Let's face it, I need running backs. And so the fact that I'm getting a running back in return and then have a chance to pick someone else up, possibly in the draft, that's something that I really need for my team.
Well, let's see. I've got Nick Chubb. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Well, that is interesting. I would say one thing on the wide receiver that you got, that gives you some more depth at the wide receiver position, meaning you've got maybe a trade ship or two.
I do.
Down the road, even for next year, going into next year. So I want to throw a couple of numbers. I know we are, I don't know if anyone's noticed this, we're very careful about throwing out numbers on the podcast because it just makes the brain expend a lot of calories. So we're going to try not to throw too many numbers at you, but let's go back to Henry. Henry has scored 199 points after week 12. 199. You want to take
12 of last year?
This year. This year, 199.4. Do you want to take a guess what percentage of those points come from touchdowns?
I'm going to guess decently high, just because we're already talking about the number of touchdowns he had in the last couple of weeks.
He has 72 points accounted for from touchdowns. That's 36%.
Wow.
So is it fair to say that he's touchdown dependent, or he's your ball guy when you get
yes.
down in the red zone? So anyway, 36% of his point total comes from touchdowns. By the way, 16% comes from passing. So again, he is your big Bubba. He is
yes.
He's your roughhouse guy. He's the tough dude who's going to run the ball. He's going to pound the ball. He's the old school man. That guy is huge, huge. So that's Henry. Now let's talk about Kamara. Kamara has 30, almost 40 points fewer than Henry, but that's because he was out either, was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
2 weeks plus a bye.
Plus a bye.
So really 2 weeks.
So he has 166 points. So you get him back at least two of those weeks, and he's probably comparable to Henry in terms of fantasy points. So 166 points. Want to take a guess how many touchdowns he has?
Well, I've had Kamara on my team all year, so I know that it's going to be very, very, very slim percentage because he only has one touchdown on the year.
Two
touchdowns.
One from running and one from passing. So that means 7% of his scoring comes from touchdowns.
And just to say
– Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, just to say that comes on the exact same week. So he had 1 week where he had touchdowns.
You were right. Exactly. I think that was week number three. And I also want to say that 61% of his points comes from passing. So going back to Chris's, I don't know if this was strategic on his end. So he's got Dalvin Cook, who's more of the power back, although he's a great receiving running back as well. But I've got this stigma about Dalvin Cook. He's still a power back, even though that could be somewhat incorrect. He's definitely not a Henry. He's somewhere in between Henry and Kamara. But I think it's going to be great that he's got Cook and then he's got Kamara, two different types of running backs. So, again, I don't know if that makes a difference in fantasy football, but you've got two different looks that he's going to be starting next year. There's one more set of numbers I wanted to throw out. I'm trying to pretend like I'm Thomas here for a minute, or JB, who are like 50 times smarter than I am. So let's take three numbers, 10, 15, and 20. So the average of those three numbers is 15. Now let's take 14, 15, 16. The average is 15. But you've got two types. They're not the same. The averages are not the same. One has lots of variation. One has not a lot of variation. So in one case, you're going to have booms and busts. I'm trying to put the S on those words. Doesn't sound right. But you're going to have boom and bust. Whereas the other guy, you're going to have, just really steady Eddie, consistency, a lot of consistency. So I was curious. I was looking at the fantasy points. By the way, I did this for carries. I did this for yards. I did this for receipts, targets. But because of time, let's just look at points. So I looked at the standard deviation for Henry's points. I looked at the standard deviation for Kamara. And I was curious. I was hoping I'd see this huge disparity. So you don't want to just look at the standard deviation. What I like to do as a stats guy who looks at tons of numbers and sees weird data sets that I've never even seen before in my life to get some perspective. So you take the standard deviation divided by the mean or the average, and that gives you some perspective. And now it means you can compare two standard deviations with one another. It's called the coefficient of variation. And basically, the coefficient for Henry is 50%. By the way, a low number, the lower the percentage, like 1%, 2%, means there's almost zero variation. So Henry's is 50%. And that makes sense because he's had games in the 30s, and he's also had a 4.3 game. So that hurts his. But guess what? Kamara is only 43%. So he's had a low game of 7, and he's had some high games. So they're both. You're gonna have some floors periodically. But what I was looking for, was there any disparity? And the answer is basically none. I mean, there's a little bit more consistency from week to week with Kamara compared to Henry. So I was curious. So, if you all want to send me a check for all that deep statistical,
that's a lot of work. Yeah. It's hours and hours.
It actually took me minutes. I do this stuff very fast. I do this for a living for the most part, or I tell other people how to do it. Can you hear that, G2?
I can.
So I'm going to bring the sound down just a little bit since you're on the phone.
Okay.
And this is called Drew's Picks, which in my opinion is the best segment of the entire podcast. Everything else is just filler. So let's look at the scoreboard. Now, we are going to look at everybody. So are we going to start with the scrum teams first?
Start with the scrum teams. MLB Baseball, obviously, the leader of the scrum teams. So I think with this first game, you are on a hot streak and your players are on fire. And I'm anticipating that you win this two-week matchup against Team Miller. I don't think he really has a chance against you, to be honest.
Next
matchup here, we got Team Stump against Team Ball. At least for this week, Landon has the higher projection, and I think he wants to have a little bit of something to prove with the way his season ended up, and I think he's going to do as best as he can to put in the best people in his lineup, and I'm going to go with him for the win this week. Moving on to... Oh, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I agree.
Okay. Moving on to my piddly 7-5 team.
Oh, ball.
I think having Kelsey back in my lineup is going to be a big help to me having a good game. I think Lockett's going to bounce back. I think Wilson's going to bounce back. And I don't think Dylan's going to care too much about how he does in the playoffs. So I think I'm going to win this matchup against Dylan.
Agree.
Moving on to the teams that actually matter, I think the Wagners against each other. No, I'm sorry, they're not playing against each other. I think the two teams, Mr. Wright and Need to Breeze, and I think it's going to be a close game this week, but I'm going to go with Need to Breeze on this one, even though Joe Ryan got Derrick Henry.
Wow.
So big call here. I think Evans is due to have a big game. I think Odell Beckham Jr. might be trending upwards, even though Pittsburgh is a tough defense. I think Beckham having a good game last week, I think he continues with that. And you can't go against Lamar Jackson. I know it's against the San Francisco defense, but I am making the pick with Need to Breeze on this one.
I want to make another comment about Lamar Jackson. He cannot, I repeat, he cannot have a game where they score like 6 touchdowns because they'll take him out. They'll take him out near the end. So he needs to keep it close.
Right. Agreed. So with the last matchup, we got Acme Pack against the JB's Deflator Gators.
Yep.
I am giving it to Acme Pack.
You think?
I think Marin's lineup is scary.
That's pretty risky, G2. My gosh. That is just so going out on a limb. You sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to rethink that?
I'm sure. Hey, no offense to JB. I think his team is good, but I think Chris matches up every single position pretty much better than JB's team here. I think Chris's guys are hot, and again, having Kamara in his lineup, man, I'm kind of glad I'm not in the playoffs, so I don't have to play him.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, man, the rich just keep getting richer.
Right. But that being said, JB, I am all hands on deck. I will root for you in this game to try to take down Chris.
Am I allowed to say I'm rooting for both?
That's cheating.
I'm rooting for both. I'm except for me against Anthony, I'm pulling for myself.
Okay.
Well, hey, this has been good. I thought this would be short. I didn't aim to keep you for 30
minutes.
No
worries.
So we will see you Saturday. And, of course, we're going to be out in sunny Phoenix on Sunday.
Wearing T-shirt and shorts.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah, I'm going to wear a tank top, black socks and sandals. And
Jim Maui sunglasses. Got it all.
All right. Hey, you have a good evening, and good luck, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk with the 2 G's, Mark and Drew.